हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी चन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यशोदनंदन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यशोदनंदन तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यशोदनंदनतीरवनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी कृष्ण सो लाइक वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर टुडे मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड नारद्स इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑन Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Anuridhaya Namaha Sankarshanaya Cha ॐ नमो भगवते तुभ्यं वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नानुरुद्धाय नमः संकर्षनाय च ॐ नमो भगवते तुभ्यं वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नाय अनिरुद्धाय नमः संकर्षनाय च ॐ नमो भगवते तुभ्यं वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नाय अनिरुद्धाय नमः संकर्षनाय च ॐ नमो भगवते तुभ्यं
वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नाय अनिरुद्धाय कृष्णाय च भगवते तुभ्यं वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नाय अनिरुद्धाय नमः संकर्षणाय च। माताजी ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं वासुदेवाय धीमहि प्रद्युम्नाय अनिरुद्धाय नमः संकर्षणाय च। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ओम द साइन ऑफ चैंटिंग द ट्रांसेंडेंटल ग्लोरी ऑफ द लॉर्ड नमः ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस अनटू द लॉर्ड भगवते unto the personality of Godhead, tubhyam unto you, vasudevaya unto the Lord, the son of Vasudev, dhimahi, let us chant, pradyumnaya, anuriddhaya and sankarshanaya, all plenary expansions of Vasudev. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudev along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarshan. Purport, according to Pancharatra, Narayan is the primeval cause of all expansions of Godhead. So these are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Vasudev and Sankarshan are on the middle left and right. Pradyumna is on the right of Sankarshan and Aniruddha is on the left of Vasudev. And thus the four deities are situated. They are known as the four aides de camp of Lord Sri Krishna. So this is a Vedic hymn or mantra beginning with Omkar Pranav, and thus the mantra is established by the transcendental chanting process, namely Om Namo Dhimahi, etc. So the purport is that any transaction, either in the field of fruity work or in empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at the transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. Naradji has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by a gradual process of progressive devotional activities. Such a progressive march of transcendental devotion for the Lord culminates in the attainment of loving service of the Lord, which is called prema in different transcendental variegatedness called rasas or the tastes. Such devotional service is also executed in mixed forms, namely mixed with fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculations. Now, the question which was raised by the great rishis headed by Shaunak regarding the confidential part of Sutta's achievement through the spiritual master is explained herein by the chanting of this hymn, chanting of 33 letters. And this mantra is addressed to the four deities of the Lord with his plenary expansions. The central figure is Lord Sri Krishna, because the plenary portions are his aides-de-camp. The most confidential part of the instruction is that one should always chant and remember the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his different plenary portions explained as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These expansions are the original deities for all other truths, namely either Vishnu Tattva or the Shakti Tattva. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advait Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vacharam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripat Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. So this, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas to speak something about the glories of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So this beautiful section of Naraji's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are concluding this section in the next three verses. So in this particular section where Naraji is telling his own mantra, which was given by Srila Bhaktivedantists to him, and in the previous verse is explaining about the glories of devotional service, and now this mantra wherein Srila Prabhupada explains is worshipping Vasudev with all his expansions. Srila Prabhupada explains that how Narayan is the primeval cause of all expansions of Godhead. As we know, in the spiritual world, Krishna wanted to enjoy, so for him, he expanded as Sri Balaram, the first incarnation or first Vaibhav Prakash as Balaram, as the Sevak Bhagavan, and from him expands the Chaturvyuhu, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. And from this Chaturvihu comes Sri Narayan, the Lord of Vaikunth, and that Lord Narayan again expands as the Chaturvihu. That is what is being described here. And from him comes all the incarnations and all the manifestations of the Karanodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu and Shirodakshai Vishnu for the creation of this material universe. And then in the second half of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the purport is that, I'm just reading the purport lines, in that any transaction that is done, either in the field of fruitiwork, basically any karmakanda or any activity which is done, or in empiric philosophy, in jnana, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. So very clearly Srila Prabhupada is explaining the purport that anything either related to karma or jnana, if not done to achieve the ultimate goal, the transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, which is the ultimate goal of all living beings, if that is not done, if that is not, it is not progressing in that direction, it is shrama evahi kevalam. It is considered to be useless. We may achieve a lot of things on that platform, but if it is not aimed in the direction of pure devotional service, it is considered to be useless. It's like you have to climb a staircase, you are on the steps to reach to the floor where you are staying, and then you just happy on the step where you have climbed. Okay, I have climbed the first step, I'm happy and be satisfied, and you start staying on the step itself. So it's good, we have to climb the step, but we just can't stay there. So it's Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga ultimately should lead to devotion to Sri Hari. If one is happy at that, so that is not the ultimate goal. And then Prabhupada explains how Naraji explained the unalloyed devotional. Basically, Prabhupada in the purport is summarizing the previous section and in this whole conversation of Narada and Vyasadeva, how Narad Muni through his own personal example is exemplifying that how this path of devotional service works progressively through his example, how he came in touch with the Bhaktivedantist, received the instructions, followed their instructions, and achieved the ultimate, culminates in the atonement of loving service to the Supreme Lord called prema. Prabhupada mentions that, and then Prabhupada mentions that such prema or devotional service is exhibited in the five primary rasas, the shantaras, the dasyaras, the sakhyaras, the vatsalya, and the madhurya. And then Prabhupada concludes this purport by saying that the most confidential part of the instruction, so it's coming to the crux of the instructions which Narada Muni gave to Sri Vyasadeva. Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, most confidential part of instruction is so that one should always chant and remember the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. So that's the conclusion of all the instructions given by Sri Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. So if somebody has missed the entire chapter, not read the chapter, Prabhupada is giving the most confidential part, the essence of all the conversation which happened. If somebody reads that, very well. But this is the conclusion which Srila Prabhupada is giving. The most confidential part is that one should always chant and remember the glories of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, along with his plenary expansions. And so with this, as I was instructed, that we should actually sing the glories of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, since Krishna Janmashtami is coming. So today we are beginning the series on Krishna Katha, and we will hear from the exalted speakers tomorrow and the day after. So we will today discuss one beautiful leela of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna of Krishna's entering into the forest of Vrindavan. So we will, by the process of hearing, we will try to walk with Krishna. Nowadays, of course, now it has opened, but at some point it was so difficult, we were confined. And the only way we could walk was through with the ears. So now we have an opportunity to enter Sri Vrindavan. It's basically, this description comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 15th chapter. The killing of the ass, the demon, Dhenukaji. And before that, Shukadev Goswami describes how Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan. Basically, before that, Krishna was, like we call Krishna as Gop. Gop means one who serves the cows, Gwala or Gop. But before that, when Krishna was just below five, he was called Vatsap, one who would take care of the calves, Vatsap. So that was near the house. And they take the cows next to the house and just make them graze and then come back. So it was more or less like work from home sort of environment. So this is the first time now Krishna expressed his desire to go out and actually explore the Vrindavan forest. Of course, many challenges were there. He was just Pauganda age. That means Krishna just entered the sixth year. So he was quite young, but he was quite confident that he could do the grazing of the cows, and he is so eager to see the forest of Vrindavan. Till then, he has explored only the neighborhood. So now he wanted to just go out. It's like after the lockdown, you just want to explore outside, like that. The concept of revenge shopping or revenge outing. Of course, Krishna was happy with this whole thing, but then he wanted to explore Vrindavan, go to Yamuna, and you need some freedom. It's children also, after some time, they just want to go and stay out in the hotel, in the hostel, and explore. So it's coming from Krishna. So Krishna wanted to explore the forest of Vrindavan with his cowherd friends. Of course, many challenges. Nanda Maharaj and all the other elderly were not really convinced that Krishna is capable now. He's qualified. So they had an interview, and Krishna was quite confident and insisting that I will want to go and. And of course, the biggest challenge was Yashoda Mai. She never wanted to see. For her, and that's for any mother, the child is, even if he's 70 years, and also he's like Mera Lala or Mera Kaka, or like very small child. So that's mother's love. And for Yashoda Mai, who is the epitome of Vatsalya, the love of all the mothers put together in the entire creation, maybe in the entire spiritual creation also put together, will be less in front of the love of Mother Yashoda. So for her to see her beloved go out to the forest of Vrindavan was not easy. So she would always discourage, and Krishna would repeatedly go, and Yashoda Mai, and Krishna would tell, of course, he would argue that I killed Vatsasur, I killed Baka, so I have grown up now, I am qualified, I have proven myself, so now you should. But then Yashoda Mai would always say, but whenever there is a lightning and the thunderbolt, you run and come towards me. So why do you say you are grown up? So you are still a little child. So that was her love. Of course, all this was happening, but there were certain problems which were happening. So those were forcing Nanda Baba to call for a meeting, and then they finally discussed that whatever the difficulties were, those some of the calves which were grown, which Krishna was tending. So they had grown up and become now cows. So the cows had moved to the cows category, and they were not willing to go to the forest. Somebody who has tasted the association of Krishna, somebody who has been with Krishna, he would never want to leave that. So they were not willing to go. So other cowherd men, they were actually literally had to push them and to take them to the forest. So they would not go, but they always wanted to become little calves and be with the Krishna and Balaram. So the elderly gopas were telling Nanda Maharaj, so this is the challenge we are facing, so please do something. And of course, some of the elder Krishna's friends were there. Their parents wanted him to go to the forest, but they were saying, no, Krishna is not going, Balaram is not going, we are not going. So these were the difficulties, and Krishna wanted to explore the Vrindavan forest. So with all these things, finally Nanda Maharaj and Upananda and all of them have a meeting, and then finally it was decided that on a most auspicious day of Kartik Ashtami, Gopashtami day, that is the first day, Krishna would be given the permission to go to the forest of Vrindavan. And the soul discussion happened and all the preparations were happening the day before, and Yashoda Mai was making all the preparations, Nanda Baba making the preparations to worship the cows and serve the cows. And Yashoda Mai was always concerned that, oh, my Lala will go into the forest and there will be thorns, there will be rocks and there will be rough surfaces. So she personally made some very beautiful shoes for Krishna with her own hand, and Krishna and Balaram, and she offered to Krishna and Balaram. And as we know, Krishna denied that offer, that I am going to serve the cows. How can I accept shoes when my cows, their hoofs, they don't have any covering or any shoes? So then Yashoda Mai was insisting, no, no, no. But Krishna was, no, I am going to serve them. If they are going to walk on the same surface as I am, how can I have these shoes? And Krishna was saying, okay, I am willing to accept it, provided you can provide to all. And there were over 9 lakh cows. So that means 18 lakh pairs. So even if, and that too of that size probably, I don't think so even Bata or Adidas or whatever they would have, Reebok will have that hoof print size shoes. The name will talk. 8 number, I don't know, will be fit new. It has to be custom made for the cows. So that was not there. So it's even if there was a shop, she would have not been able to buy for them in a day. And to make for them in a day is difficult. So, and of course, this is Vrindavan. Everyone wants to serve and please Krishna. When the cows came to know tomorrow Krishna is going to come, so they traversed the entire, they just ran out of the cow sheds the previous night. And on the path to the forest, wherever there were any sharp edges or rocks or any thorns, they just crushed it. So that is Vrindavan. That is the competition Krishna has, wants to serve his devotees, devotees want to serve Krishna. So they crushed and made the entire path very, very soft. That is the Braj Raj, the dust of Vrindavan is very, very special. So with that, all the preparations were done, and the next day they decided to go, and early in the morning Krishna was up, getting ready to go, and very difficult for Mother Yashoda, and she was dressing Krishna, and Krishna is ready with his lunch bag and everything, and Krishna is about to go, and Yashoda Mai is dressing Krishna, offering garlands and pearl necklaces, and then Krishna is leaving, and then Yashoda Mai will call back, no, 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 Krishna, come back, and then say, no, no, I forgot to put this earring. And then Krishna would go again. Then she would again call. No, 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 I forgot to put a different belt. This is not matching. And then she would call again. So in this way, Krishna would go, Yashoda Mai would call back. It was like very difficult for her to see Krishna going to the forest of Vrindavan. And finally, when Krishna is ready to go to Vrindavan forest, all the cows are in the front, and the cowherd boys and all the cowherd men come to see off. This is like God's first day at work. So all the Brajabasis, all the Nanda Baba and Upananda and Mahananda, all of them come to see of Krishna, the first day at job. So this is Supreme Lord going for job. So who is worshipped by millions of Lakshmis is on his work day one. And so all the Brajabasis are following Krishna, and this the cows in the front, and Krishna, Balaram and all the cowherd friends are there behind, and behind them all the elderly Nanda Maharaj and all the elderly Gopas are just behind Krishna, Balaram to see off their little beloved Krishna. Of course, one thing which I forgot to mention was one of the major roles in getting the permission from Yashoda Mai was Balaramji. Balaramji said, don't worry Yashoda Mai, I'll take care of Lala. I will be there with him all the time. And Yashoda Mai instructed Balaramji that you should be there always with Krishna. Wherever Krishna goes, you should be there. Don't let him go far. Don't let him go to Yamuna alone. Don't let him climb trees. He likes sweet fruits. Remember that fruit vendor came. He ran and with all the grains and everything, even though he was alone. So he likes sweet fruits. So don't let him climb the fruit trees. Some of you can climb and give him the fruits and feed him every hour. And don't let him go in the sun. So then Yashodamani had like prepared that you are going to take care of like a mother. So you should go. So that was the whole idea. And then finally, this day is happening, the day, and all the Nanda Maharaj and all of them are there. They come to see of Krishna till the end of the forest, to the beginning of the forest. And here on the other, behind Nanda Maharaj and everyone else was Yashoda Mai and all the elderly gopis. They also wanted to see Krishna. Because till then Krishna was at home and around, so they would always see. So this is the first time they're going to have separation from Krishna, so they didn't want to miss. So all of them were there. And behind all the elderly gopis were the young gopis and Sri Radharani. So all of them had come to see of Krishna. Of course, all of them would every day come in the morning to see Krishna, finish off their household duties, come to see Krishna at Nanda Bhavan. But today Krishna was leaving for the forest. So they all came, and as soon as Krishna reached the entry point of the forest, and then he is going, and then Nanda Baba and all the elderly cowherd men, they actually bend down to see Krishna. Like you kneel down and see further things, something like this. They were all kneeled down and putting their hand over the head to see Krishna, the last glimpse of Krishna. They wanted to have darshan of this Krishna, their beloved. And then all the elderly gopas, Nanda Maharaj and all of them bend down, and then when they bend down, all the elderly gopis and all of them bend down, and then behind them were all the young gopis. So they were there, all of them bend down, and then Radharani is there at the far end, and Krishna looks back and then goes to the forest of Vrindavan. And Shukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes how this entry happens. Tatascha paugandavayashritau vraje babhuvatau tau pashupala sammatau gascharayantau sakibhi samampade vrindavanam punyam ativa chakratu. Tatascha paugandavayah, when Krishna was about 6, he entered the forest of Vrindavan, vraje, shritau vraje. Babhuvatau tau pashupala sammatau. Krishna has now become pashupala, the maintainers of the animals. Of course, Sanatan Goswami describes that. Shukadev Goswami is saying pashupala because along with the cows, Krishna also has buffaloes and bakri, goats, and other few other animals. Of course, primarily cows, but these were also there. And his Krishna is going the first day, Gas Charyantu, with the cows, Sakhibi Samam, with all his friends, and without his shoes, Pade, with the marks of their feet. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa. Ativa refers to there is no limit to the fortune of Vrindavan now, because Krishna is personally entering the forest of Vrindavan. So his marking, the ornament on the earth is the lotus feet print marks on Krishna's feet. So therefore Vrindavan is all auspicious. It is Krishna's home, Krishna's personal abode. So it is definitely auspicious. But now, since this is being to be marked with the lotus print of his lotus footprint and Sri Balramji's lotus footprint, it becomes more auspicious. Ativa, there is no seema, there is no limit to the auspiciousness of Vrindavan. Because everywhere else Krishna wears his shoes, in Vaikuntha, in Shori, in Ayodhya also, in other holy places. This is Vrindavan is the only place. Vrindavan's dust, therefore Braj Raj is considered most auspicious, the most. Mercy in Vrindavan is in Braj Raj. Like in Jagannath Puri, the mercy is in the Mahaprasadam. Of course, everywhere Mahaprasadam, in darshan of Jagannath is mercy, but the potency is more in Jagannath's Mahaprasad, in Gaurmandal Bhumi, in Harinam. In Braj Bhumi, it is the Raj, the dust of Vrindavan. Because Krishna personally walked on that dust made by the hooves of the calves. Very, very auspicious when even the cows are coming, that is the dust raised by that, that is called Godhuli Muhurat. So that is considered very auspicious during the day. Anything can be done that time. It's very auspicious, that Godhuli, the Raj coming from the hoof of the cows. Right? So that is Krishna. And this happened. And then Shukadev Goswami describes beautifully. Tan Madhavo Venum Udirayan Vrato. That Krishna, who is Madhav, he is entering the forest of Vrindavan. The various meanings the acharyas give why this is referred to as Madhav. Madhav is one who is the consort of the goddess of fortune. So he is going to forest of Vrindavan. Lakshmipati is going to work. One who doesn't need to, but Shukadeva Goswami says, Vihartu Kamam. This is Krishna is not going to do some activity. It's just for Vihar. It's just for his personal enjoyment. And also the another meaning of Madhu is, one is coming in the dynasty of Madhu. And also another meaning which is more specific to this verse is, Madhu refers to Basanta Ritu, the spring season, which is the flowering season. So Krishna is entering Vrindavan and all the flowers and everything, fruits are there on the tree. And a most beautiful ambience is created for the Supreme Lord to enter the Vrindavan forest. All the six seasons in Vrindavan exist for the pleasure of the Lord at all times. There are different forests where there is, if Krishna wants to experience the summer season, there is a forest. If someone wants to experience the winter season, the rainy season. So there are different forests where Krishna can experience different. So all the seasons manifest as per the Krishna's desire. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that the Madhav, the Basanta, even though this is the Kartik month, the winter month, but then the entire Vrindavan exhibited its most beauty to welcome the Supreme Lord Krishna in his abode. So in this way, this is Sukadeva saying, Tan Madhavo Venum. Venum. Krishna is very smilingly, happily entering with his flute. The flute is always the constant companion of Krishna. He would have the flute always with him. That is why sometimes the gopis would be transcendentally envious that Krishna is always having the flute on his lips, which is actually our property, and he is getting, and we are just getting the experience of it. And that is the great fortune. Krishna somehow loves the flute. And that's the, I think, one of the simplest musical instrument would be flute. Hey, there are more simpler, huh? Simplest, na? Yeah. Yeah, there's no skin, no wires, just a bamboo thing. Of course, Krishna's flute would be sometimes made of marble, sometimes gold, sometimes bamboo also. So different flutes, Venu, Vamsi, Murali, sometimes Mahanandi, made with like marble, and different number of holes would be there. And sometimes even, it's mentioned, even during bathing, Krishna in one hand would have his flute with him. And of course, even sleeping, even when we put Radha Gopinathji to take rest in the afternoon and the night also, below the pillow is the flute. The flute, somehow, anyway, Krishna likes flute. And no musician of this world, whoever we may know as the best of the musicians, cannot match the flute playing of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Even the demigoddesses or the demigods, when they would be flying in the plains to see Krishna Leelas, the demigoddesses, they would be enamored by Krishna's flute. The gopis in the Venugita mentions that, wow, what is the fortune of these demigoddesses? Because this flute would sound would travel that far, and then they would even hear and they would get enamored and stunned. They would be with their husbands, but then hearing the flute of the sound, they would be completely like stunned. And even the cows, when they would hear with their upraised ears, drinking the nectarian sound of Krishna's flute, and even the calves, they would stop drinking the milk. Like just the whole thing is stopped, as if like a still, like the children play statue. It's like that, this whole thing, whole Vrindavan, all the moving things would become like a statue, as if somebody has told them, no movement at all. They were so enamored and so captured. Even the birds would close their eyes and simply listen to the sweet vibrations on the trees and the branches. They would close their eyes, hold it so that they don't fall. But then they would just hear the sweet singing. Of course, it is described in by the acharyas that even the branches of the trees would be struck by the vibration of the fruit. They would be transformed in ecstasy. And even Brahmaji, Vishnuji, even Lord Shiva, and all the Gandharvas who have extensive knowledge of the science of music, even they would never be able to compose music like that, the flute of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is Krishna's... Oh, even the rivers... Their mind, they would tremble and there will be like currents and there will be whirlpools generated by the sound of the Krishna's flute. The clouds would expand in love. And all those things which were moving would just aspandanam gati igmatam. Those who are moving will become like still. And pulukas, those who are the trees and everyone will be in ecstasy and shivering by. So this is something we haven't experienced. This is the classic musical experience which Krishna gives when he's entering the forest of Vrindavan. Udirayan, Shukadev Goswami saying, loudly resounded this flute to give the announcement that I am coming. And Krishna would use his flute, different flutes, for different people, for the gopis, different note, for the gopas, for the cows, and it would be very, very specific when Krishna would play the flute. When he would, he did tell Yashoda, you don't know the power of my flute. I don't have to do any effort in herding the cows. I'll just play the flute and all the cows would assemble, and that's what would happen. And each cow would hear their names, Dhavali and Ganga and Kalindi, they would hear their names. So that was Krishna's transmission. Very, very specific. Like now also we have technology, you call a number and it only that person can hear. So something like that, Krishna had that transcendental. He is the source of all the technology. He is the brain behind the technocrats. He is the brain behind the energies. So he can definitely, all these energies are subhaviki jnana bala kriya. Just by Krishna's desiring things manifest. Tan madhavo venum udirayan vito. Goper granadhibi swayashabalanvita. Shukadeva Goswami is saying that what are the gopas doing when they are going granadhibi? They are singing the glories of the Krishna. That is Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Brajavasis, that was their life centered around. So that's what Brajavas means. Centered around glorifying, serving Krishna. That was Brajavasi's life. Either they would be talking about Krishna, when Krishna is not with them, they would be talking about Krishna, serving Krishna, or they would be with Krishna, playing with Krishna. Even they are here now with Krishna, but they are singing Goper Granadhibi Swayasho. They are singing the glories of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, all the time. That is the life of Yashoda Mai. That is the life of the gopis, thinking about Krishna at all times. Yashoda Mai's meditation, 24 hours meditation on how can I please Krishna, serve Krishna, glorify Krishna. That was her meditation. Pashun puraskritya pashavyam avishad. Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is full with grasses, which were very nourishing grasses for the cows. Viharatu kama. Vihartu kama, as we described that. This was not a job, it was like a viharana. It was his gocharana vihara leela. And what was the forest of Vrindavan? Kusumakaram, which is full of wonderful flowers and fragrances, were there. And then Shukadev Goswami brilliantly describes the introduction to the forest of Vrindavan, which Krishna is entering with Sri Balaram. This is the first time he's going. So it's the Shukadeva Goswami just gives us an introduction. What are it's like we go to some resort or something, we find out on the Make My Trip or a Trip Advisor, what is the thing, how is the environment there, what is the weather, temperature. So Shukadeva Goswami is giving the weather forecast before Krishna is entering Vrindavan, all adjusted to the desires of the Supreme Lord. And how Shukadeva Goswami beautifully describes, Tan Manju Ghosh Ali Mrig Drij Dvijakulam. The sound of Vrindavan is being described. First, Shukadeva Goswami described, what are the beautiful sounds when Krishna enters Vrindavan? Some of the sounds are described as Ali, the bees, the Manju Ghosh. These are very charming sounds of the humming of the bees and the mrig and the animals and the birds, the Dvijak and the birds. All of them are a beautiful symphony to receive the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Is happening. Krishna is playing his flute, and there is now he's entering the Vrindavan forest, and there's a beautiful symphony of the birds and the animals and the bees is happening to receive the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So a sound actually describes the place. I don't remember, but one of the devotees was mentioning that he is doing a PhD study on how we can actually map a place with the generic sound of that place. So unique. Every place can be marked with the sound. Like Bombay, you know, or the our sound is like the primarily it's the honking of the cars or the vehicles and the crows and other things. So that's, we know this is this place. We go someplace, we can hear a sound and we can tell, oh, this is this area. So there is a, like a study where they can actually mark by the sound every place. So this is the Vrindavan symphony. The sound of the birds, the sound of the animals, the sound of the bees who have come. And what else is there? So this is the sound. And now the beautiful lakes which are there. And lakes are as crystal clear. Many times this analogy comes that they're clear like the mind of the great personalities, the sadhus. Like the sadhu's mind is very pure and calm and peaceful. There's no kachra in it. So that is like these the beautiful lakes and ponds which were there in Vrindavan. And a beautiful air is blowing, Vatena Jushtam Shatpatra Gandina. The air is blowing, which is also very, very pleasantly the right speed. It's not that it's moving very fast or very slow. Perfectly orchestrated Vrindavan by Sri Vrindadevi. It's the right speed and the most beautiful fragrances from the lotuses, Satpatra Gandhina. Of course, many flowers were there, but primarily the fragrance of a special flower which is mentioned here is Shatpatra, 100-petal lotus fragrance is spread. That is Vrindavan. The whole Vrindavan is fragrant all the time. It's as if there is some word that room, there is no need of room freshener, there is no market for room fresheners in Vrindavan. You don't need them. You don't need those diffusers and all. This, the whole Vrindavan is all the time, perfume is not the right word, but yeah, it's all the time fragrant. That is, so, and then Nirikshirantum, that Bhagavan Manodade. Shukadeva Goswami is reminding that he is Krishna, is Bhagavan, and he is, just by seeing, he wanted to enjoy the forest of Vrindavan. And the Acharyas very beautifully explain how in this verse it is described that Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all the five senses of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. The sound of the bees and the birds were giving pleasure to the Krishna's ears. The wind was giving like pleasure to the by carrying the cooling moisture of the lakes to the smell of sense of touch. And by the sweetness of the wind, even the taste was being stimulated. So like that, and by the fragrances, the nostrils were satisfied. So in this way, the forest of Vrindavan, this whole symphony, the whole wonderful arrangement was to give satisfaction to Krishna through all his five senses. So that is Vrindavan, in all ways giving senses to Krishna. And then Shukadeva Goswami describes when Krishna is, how everyone is welcoming. Different devotees in Vrindavan welcome Krishna. Satatra tatra arun pallava shriya fal prasoon uru bharena padayo. Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning that as soon as Krishna is entering the trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their burden of fruits and flowers were actually bending down to touch his feet. And So this basically in the next few verses we'll see how Krishna is being received by the different living beings. So first Krishna begins by how these wonderful trees are bending down to touch the feet. Phala prasoon uru bharena padayo. They are heavy because of the fruits, but they are bending down to touch the lotus feet. Like someone who comes, a great personality comes, we welcome them by standing, but the trees are already standing. So they are offering themselves by bowing down and offering, like we offer these flowers and fruit, somebody like flower bouquet. So now this is the live offering by the trees themselves. They are bending down to offer a flower bouquet or a fruit bouquet to the Supreme Lord who is entering. And that's how it is beautifully described. And beautiful lessons from the trees the acharyas have explained. Referring to this section specifically, we see how somebody who is heavy, who is having all these fruits, actually bends down. So that is Vinaya. That is all we have to learn, that even when we have these wonderful fruits which are given by the Supreme Lord, beautiful qualities, wonderful, the so-called Aishwaryas, which are of course the reflections of the Supreme Lord's Aishwaryas, whatever we have, we should actually bend down and offer to the Supreme Lord. That is, the trees are teaching us by their wonderful example. They had this, not that, that I have all the fruits and become like a straight and not offering, not bending. Sar jhuka nahi sakte. But anyway, not like that. But the trees are offering their everything what they have. That is the wonderful lessons which trees are teaching. Whatever they have, they are offering to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is smiling and entering. Samayan. Krishna is smilingly acknowledging their service and entering the forest of Vrindavan. Adi Purusham, Shukadeva Goswami addresses. And then Krishna is smiling, and now he is in a very cultured, refined way. Krishna is addressing Sri Balaramji. Krishna wants to reciprocate with all these braj trees and the animals and how they are actually bowing down to him. But in a very, I was hearing Radha Govinda Maharaj when he was speaking about this episode, he beautifully describes actually that in a cultured society, you don't say that, oh, see how they are worshipping me. Krishna is now telling in the next verse that, how, see, they are worshipping you, Balaramji. It's like many in a cultured society, you don't say my house or my this or my. It's always in, like when we have seen previously when somebody would come to the house and so, aapka ghar kahan hai? And yeah, they would ask, where is your house? He'll say, aapka ghar yahan hai. Like referring to there. Actually, it's, so that's the cultured way of addressing. That's what Radha Govinda Maharaj very beautifully, elaborately explains how Krishna is very in a cultured way. Balaramji is there saying, oh, Balaramji is actually being worshipped. Aho, ami, devavar. He's saying, Balaramji, you are the best of the devas. Amar architam, you are being worshipped by the devatas. And now you see, padam, bhujamte, sumanah, falaranam. These trees are offering their flowers and fruits to you. Namanti, upadhyay. They are offering their obeisances by touching to you. And by doing that, tamo apahyati taru janma yat kritam, the ignorance because of which they have got this body of trees, they are just giving up by offering their fruits and flowers. Of course, we know the trees of Vrindavan are not ignorance. They are actually the great souls who had the desire to serve Krishna, appeared as trees in Vrindavan. But Krishna is making, and he is acknowledging their service. That is Krishna's reciprocation. These trees are offering and Krishna is acknowledging. That is the Supreme Lord. He acknowledges everyone's service. Even the sometimes we may have that feeling that, oh, nobody is seeing what I am doing. But there is one person who is abhigya, who knows everything about every individual's service, every individual's thought, anything done, any service done, even in the mind, even in the thoughts, is recognized, acknowledged by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is the glory of the Supreme Lord. He is, otherwise, the masters in this world, they just want to take the credit. You do a project and they say that, oh, this is what I did and we have experienced and we have seen in this world how this work is. You want to take the credit and the boss wants to take the credit and do it and the guide wants to take the credit. But here Krishna is not such a god. He's acknowledging the trees who were bending down to offer the fruits and the flowers. And Krishna is saying, Tamo apahayati, that just by offering these fruits and flowers to you, Balramji, their tamogun is being eradicated. And that's a beautiful lesson which we get, is whatever bodies we have is all because of our past karma. So this is our, in one sense, it's the Aadhaar card of our karma. We can see our bodies and this is what it is. This is what we are made up of, is our karma. This is all. And then we can, if you want to give up our karma and attain the ultimate shelter, then as these trees are offering whatever fruits and flowers, is Krishna is saying that the tau janma yat, that the janma, the apahayati, there this body is delivered. So for us also, whatever fruits, flowers we have, if we offer to the Supreme Lord, then tamo apahayati, that all the ignorance which is covering us will be eliminated simply by offering the fruits and the flowers which we have in our lives. And then in the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes how the bees are welcoming Krishna. So this was the trees and the plants, and now the bees, and they were Tava Yasho Akila Loka Tirtham. They were singing your glories. Balramji, see these birds, they are Prayo Munigana. There must be some great personalities, because Muniganas are always engaged in glorifying you. They are always singing your glories. So these bees who are following you, Gayanti Adi Purusha Anupatham Bhajante, they are worshipping you by glorifying you. So that is, and they are getting purified just by singing your glories, which are, Krishna is saying, Tava yash akhila loka tirtham, that my dear Balramji, basically referring to himself, that my glories, he's saying, Balramji, your glories are like akhila loka tirtha. The tirtha of the entire universe is manifested where the glories of the Supreme Lord are sung. So anytime the glories of the Lord are sung, the tirtha which can deliver us manifests there. So these are the glories of the Supreme Lord are actually the real ATM. Like we say, anytime money. So anytime we want to manifest a holy dham or a tirth or a place which can deliver us, sing the glories of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. That's what Shri Krishna is telling, that they are the akhila loka tirtham. So in this way, a beautiful welcome of Shri Krishna and Balram is happening, and later on the birds and the peacocks by dancing. All of them with whatever resources, talents they have, they are welcoming Krishna in their abode. First time, Krishna's first entry. So in this week of Shri Krishna Janmashtami, we can also pray to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this wisdom, knowledge through his books, that we can also invite the Lord in our hearts and welcome him like the bees by singing, the fruits by offering the flowers, the peacocks by dancing. So whatever different abilities we have, which are given by Krishna, we use them in his service and welcome Krishna in our hearts and celebrate Shri Krishna Janmashtami. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsav ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.